Welcome to Poolesville Presbyterian Church. We are located in the town of Poolesville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolesville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You are always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from the book of John, chapter 17, verses 20 through 26. Today we welcome Reverend Derek Longbreak to our pulpit. In his message titled, Jesus' Last Message, Reverend Longbreak tells us that Jesus came to this world to prepare a community that would bear witness to God's love, His forgiveness of sins, and His promise of eternal life in heaven. Let us now join Reverend Longbreak as he explains God's Word.
Let's join together in this unison prayer of confession, and then we'll follow that by some moments of silent, personal confession. Almighty God, we are aware of all the things that pull us apart and the selfishness that is so pervasive in our world. We need to be bound together in love and obedience to you. We confess that our fears and resentments often guide our interactions with others, both inside and outside of the church. Holy Spirit, unite us into one body, that the world may believe in Jesus Christ our Lord. God, we offer all of who we are, all the things that we're bringing with us this morning to you. Lord, you know the things that we want to let go to you, and we pray that you would help us be able to accept and know your forgiveness. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So our scripture reading is from John 17. Amelia read the first part of this prayer that Jesus prays. There's an in-between part that we're not reading. I'm going to read the end part. So if that's something that you want to, whether it's sort of now or later, you know, read through and see sort of what connects these two parts. So I'm going to begin with verse 20 and finish with verse 26. I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them, even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory, which you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. This is the word of the Lord. So it's your last chance to pass on a message to someone that you love, or to those that you love. What would you say? Many of us are concerned about the church and love the people here. What would you say to the church? What would you pray about for the church before you die? I want you to really think about this now. What would you pray about for the church? Jesus prays before he dies for the disciples, for the church, reminding them that they're God's people. Jesus prays for more than one thing. He prays for lots of things, but he also prays that they wouldn't just be individuals, but that the disciples would be a community called out of the world to unity found in him. Jesus prays that they won't just be individuals, but that there'll be a community called to joy in relationship with one another. Jesus prays that they won't just be individuals, but there'll be a community sent into the world to make the love of God in Jesus Christ known. This prayer of Jesus, not just for a group of individuals, but for a community, extends beyond the first disciples. Because in his prayer, Jesus assumes that the disciples will carry on ministry in the power of the Holy Spirit. If you look at John 17:20, and if you don't have your Bibles open and you're someone who likes to do it, I will be referring back to the scripture. So Jesus prays in John 17:20, "I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word." So this prayer is not one just for back then. It's one that continues to be extended into the present, because Christianity is always for more than those who already believe. Jesus' prayer assumes that others will believe because of our message. And our message begins in a unity, in a oneness that's demonstrated. This unity is lived out in the midst of diversity, and there's diversity that comes when others believe. This unity is a deep connection of purpose and mission. This unity isn't just a call to sameness, to uniformity, to everyone looking or feeling the same. There's going to be all different types of people, people with different interests, people with different personal histories that make up the community of faith. And that's going to be even more true, especially as people come to believe. Everyone who enters this church door brings something different. Well, Jesus prays in John 17:21 that in the midst of all these differences, that we may be one as he and the Father are one. In our creeds, in the Apostles' Creed, which we'll say together later, we hold up Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit as one triune God. One God, yet three distinct persons. So our unity's found in that we're connected to God by Jesus Christ, knowing that there's new life found in him. That's what is at the core of us being connected together. We know that we are together forgiven of our sins. So this doesn't mean that we're going to be the same in our politics. Doesn't mean that we're going to be same in what our economic level is, how much money we have. It doesn't mean we're going to have the same areas of interest. But this unity is more than just friendly people gathering together on Sunday morning as well. I remember when I was a youth director in New Mexico, I had a time where I was praying with an ex-gangster, guy who had gotten arrested for drug trafficking. And obviously, his background was pretty different from me. Economically, came from real poor roots. Our backgrounds were different spiritually even. He went to a different type of church. That church had a different approach to ministry than my church did. He had a different life experience. He was a different ethnicity than me. The differences were really clear, but so was the unity that we had in purpose and mission because of our experience of the love of God and Jesus Christ being at work in both of us. And we experienced this unity as we prayed together. And then as he later came to speak to the youth of the church that I served and invited them to believe in Jesus. Jesus' prayer makes clear that we're connected to each other and we're connected to God so that the world may believe. We're connected to God not so we will feel good. We're not connected to God so we'll become famous or be applauded. We're not connected to God even so we'll have a great church. Unity is for the sake of a convincing witness to the truth of Jesus, who's sent by God to bring life. The unity of believers, our unity in the midst of our differences, is the visible reality which challenges the world to recognize Jesus is divine and that God's love is a personal love for people. Our message, our witness of unity is possible because Christ is in us. It's not our own strength, but Jesus does dwell in the midst of believers. Jesus Christ in us makes us together part of his mission to reconcile the world to God. So how has this worked out? I don't know your congregation so well, but I imagine when the congregation sends out not just one, not just two, but many to support someone in the congregation who's mourning. When not just one or two, but many people visit someone who's sick. When not just one or two, but everyone in the congregation is involved with teaching and helping our kids know more about faith. When not just one or two, but many are involved in our greater community, helping to make the community a stronger place. When it's not just one or two, but everyone who's inviting others to join for worship, to join together in serving God. When things like these are happening, that's when people are going to be seeing something is going on here. Someone, Jesus, is in the midst of this group of people, even though they have differences, even though they work in different places, even though they have different amounts of time to give, they'll see in the midst of those differences Jesus bringing them together to serve. So as we serve and as we care with this kind of unity, people do recognize Jesus. I was on a trip a number of years ago to Pittsburgh, and we were redoing houses, and a neighbor came up and said, what are you guys doing? And we said, we're trying to fix this house, and said, where are you from? And we said where we were from, and they said, why did you come here to do that? Sometimes it's as simple as offering help, and someone recognizes that it's different, that something's going on here. And when people recognize Jesus in us, it helps them to understand God not just as some idea or concept, but actually as a person who loves them. Jesus prays in verse 23 that we recognize he is at work. He's in us working to guide people in ministry, holding us together despite our sin and difference. So if we look closely at this prayer, starting in verse 21 and going to verse 23, the first thing Jesus prays is that they may be one, so the world may believe that you have sent me. But then Jesus prays that they may be completely one, so the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them. So this is what's amazing, is we're brought to complete unity. And our message is not just that Jesus is Messiah. Our message is that and that you are loved by God in a deeply personal way. And we each have stories of this love made real in our lives. You wouldn't be sitting here otherwise. We each have stories of God's love being made real through the community of faith. So what's your story? I think this is the key thing. What is our story of why we're connected together here at Poolsville Presbyterian Church? Why? What is it? Is your story one where the church came around you in a time of difficulty? Is your story one that you received forgiveness and you knew it and you needed to be among others who were receiving forgiveness? Was it a story where you were prayed for by someone in the midst of a time of joy or a time of sorrow? What is your story? Because that's what we share. That's what we share and replicate so that our kids, so that each other, so that the world knows the love of God in Jesus Christ is real. So we're not trying to make something up. We're just telling what's happened in our lives. We have this testimony not only of God showing his love for us in our lives, but it's happened throughout time. That's where the Jeremiah scripture comes into play. That was a really bad time for the people of Israel. The whole community had been scattered. There was a small group left, and they were wondering what's going on. What can we do? They were worried about where to go. And in the midst of that, God spoke to them saying, I will be with you. I will restore you in the right time. He also said to them, don't just run away to where you think you'll be safe, where you think you'll be free of suffering, where you think life will be better. He said, remain where you are as a testimony to the people you are among. There's not an ideal place on earth where we're going to be free with our struggles in life, where we're going to be free from our struggle with sin, or where we're going to be free with struggling with the different personalities in the church. So Jesus prays for our unity. And it's in our unity where we are that we and others know that God is with us and that God loves the world. So we don't have to try to find safety in the perfect church. We don't have to try to be the same as others to escape suffering. We don't have to just try to fit in. Jesus Christ communicates the depth of this love for us in this prayer, that we'll be with him forever. We'll see his glory in heaven. Jesus holds out the hope that we'll see him as he really is. He wants us to share in knowing the depth of his relationship with God, starting even now where we are. So we're going to start again this morning, or continue. And we do this in communion. Communion is a visible sign of this invisible connection that we have with Jesus Christ, that we have with one another. Communion not only reminds us of unity based in Jesus Christ, but it actually is one of the ways we live out our unity. Because by sharing communion, we acknowledge our deep connection in purpose and mission. We say that Jesus is at the core of who we are. We show this unity in communion as we turn together to Jesus in prayer and as we ask to be sent out as the body of Christ in the world. Because this communion, this deep, rich connection we have, it can't be constrained to Sunday mornings. It can't just be constrained to the walls of the church. This unity that Jesus prays that we experience, it bursts out in our lives. It's just visible if we have this communion. Because all of our life, everything we do is a witness to Jesus. So we demonstrate our deep connection in purpose and mission this morning as we join together to pray, as we eat together, as we think of the ways to share God's love together in ministry in the church and in the community. We demonstrate this connection and purpose and mission as we support one another in our lives, no matter what we're going through, and as we invite others in the community to witness this. It's in our unity that we demonstrate and tell about the relationship we have with other Christians and about our relationship with God. Because it's through us, it's through you, his community of faith, that the name of God and his love for humanity is made known. Let us pray. God, you know what our story is. And we give you thanks for being a part of that story. Guide us as we mix our stories together and join them into your ongoing story. Lord, in the midst of that, help us to know what we should pray for one another, and for our church. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Longbreak, for an inspiring message. The congregation of Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us, and we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
Now may the God of grace, who raised from the dead our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you all and equip us all together to do every good thing in his will. Alleluia. Amen. Amen.